to see you. All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Zayin. We have a lot to do today, Miratzah Hashem. We are picking up on Tes Zayin Amud Beis. So today's daf is 17. We're picking up 16b, and we're picking up Hechi Dami Yishtach Aval Deis Beis Shehiyo, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, we were speaking about yesterday in the Gemara, that this concept that in order to be chayiv, if one contracts tumah while already in the Beis HaMikdash, so if one goes ahead and remains in the Beis HaMikdash for the amount of time that it takes to prostrate oneself, so ultimately, again, one will be chayiv. One will be chayiv for that infraction. So the Gemara says, what is the shear for prostration, for bowing down, that has shehiyah, that essentially represents tarrying or delaying? And what's the case of ishtachavia, of prostration, which does not include tarrying? So the Gemara says, so the less pay shia, zukriya ba'alma. So we'll say a hishtachavia, prostration, that does not have shia, that does not have tarrying, that's just what we call kriya ba'alma. That's just regular bowing. The isbe shia, what does it mean that it does have tarrying? So he says, pishut yadayim viraglayim. That refers ultimately, again, to one who engages in full prostration, literally, again, lays oneself flat on the ground. The kama shir shihiyo, and how much exactly is the shir for tarrying? So, plihi bar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chad di'imei. So, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani and another person disagree. Who is the other person? Umanu, Rabbi Shimon Pazi, v'amu Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, v'chad di'imei, manu Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, v'amu Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani, chad, fine. So, we'll say, the point is, two people are arguing. That's the bottom line. Two people are arguing. What are they arguing about? Chad Amar Kimemre, the high psuka, the Chad Amar Kimeviyichru'u l'seifa. Shabbos say, interestingly enough, the machlokas they have is in terms of the shear of shehiya. How long is shehiya? How long is delaying? So one says, essentially, part of the pasuk and the entire pasuk. Which pasuk are we referring to? So the Gemara over here quotes from the pasuk. Quotes the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. And the pasuk says, V'chol b'nei Yisrael ro'im b'redes ha'ish u'kvod Hashem al habayis, vayichru'u apayim artsa al haritzpa, vayishtachavu vaholdos la'ashem ki tov li'olam chasdo. Ki tov ki'olam chasdo. So says the Pasuk is talking about that in the Beis HaMikdash, they saw a manifestation of the Ribono Shel Olam, and they prostrated themselves. So some say the Shir of Shehiya is the recitation of that entire Pasuk. Others say the Shir of Shehiya is only from the phrase of vayichru'u, they bowed down until the end of the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, fine. Kilo chazal. Tanah Rabbanan. So we'll say, so this is machlokis. So the Rambam happens to paskin like the latter shir. I'll just read this to you for just a moment. The Rambam writes over here the following. The Rambam writes, "Va'asulo lishos u'lishtachavos u'letzis b'derech arucha." If one goes ahead and one contracts tuma inside of the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately one is not permitted to go ahead and tarry or to prostrate or to take the long way out to the Beis HaMikdash. V'im shah o shiyatza baruka, if a person tarries or they take the long way out, afa pi shalosha o sheikh zeparna v'hechal v'shtachave, afa pi shalosha chayiv koris, v'im hayashogig may be karban. So we'll say, so therefore the Rambam paskins ultimately, again, if one contracts tumah inside the Beis HaMikdash, one can't tarry, nor can one go ahead and take the long way out. If one intentionally tarries or takes a long way out, ultimately there'll be a chiyuv. So the Rambam discusses, the Rambam holds, like the second opinion, that the shir of his shihiya is the amount of time that it takes to recite from the middle of this pasuk, v'yichru'u, up until the end of the pasuk. Okay, that's the halacha l'maisa. The Gemara just mentions over here, Rabbanan kido al apayim. So we'll say, now that we're talking about prostration, so the Gemara discusses the different forms of prostration. So kido means to fall down on your face, to bow down on your face. V'chinu omer v'atiko bat sheva apayim aretz. Kriya al birkayim. Kriya means bowing down on your knees. V'chinu omer michroa al birkov. Hishtachavo, what is hishtachavo? Zu pisha dadayim raglayim. That refers to full prostration. A person is fully stretched out on the ground. V'chinu omer, havo novo ani ve'imcha, we'll say just in last week's parasha, right? Ultimately, again, when Yosef tells over the dreams, Yaakov Avinu, in an effort to diffuse the animosity, says, "What? Are your brothers, your mother, and I going to bow down before you?" Artsa. So that Artsa teaches me that Hishtachavia is Pisha Tadayim Raglayim, a total prostration. By Rava, Zarchi Shihia Lamalkus, or in Zarchi Lamalkus, was an interesting Shaila. Now let's understand the following. Let's say a person goes ahead and is inside the Beis HaMikdash and is tummy. They tell the person whether he contracted to him on the inside, didn't contract him on the inside. They tell him then what? They tell him that, listen, you need to go ahead and get out of the Beis HaMikdash because you are tummy. So remember again, as we've already pointed out, the moment that you find out that you are tummy, you have a window in which to exit the Beis HaMikdash. We call it the Shir Shihiyah. So as you just pointed out, you have to take the fastest way out. Shihiyah would mean that you tarry for the amount of time that it takes to say from the middle of to the end of that pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. So the Shaila now is, Rabbi Osai, if you're in the Beis HaMikdash for less than the Shir Shihiyah, do you get Malkus or not? Do you get lashes? So the Gemara says, Sar Shihiyah LeMalkus, or Sar Shihiyah LeMalkus. So do you have to violate, do you have to tarry in order to be Chayiv Malkus or not? So the Gemara says, LeKarban Gemiri Shihiyah, LeMalkus Lo Gemiri Shihiyah. So one of them, you could say Shihiyah is only a din in Karban, Shihiyah is not a din in Malkus. In other words, you should get Malkus even for just for any amount that you tarry, top of Yud Zayin. Oh, Dilma Bithin Gemiri Shihiyah, Lo Shna LeKarban, Velo Shna LeMalkus. But I will say, maybe at the end of the day, so Shihiyah is a din in Tuma on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if you contract Tuma inside the Beis HaMikdash, in order to be Chayyah for that, you have to tarry. Lo shna la karban v'lo shna la malkus. It makes no difference whether you're talking about karbanic obligation or liability or malkus liability. To which the Gemara answers, teku. To which the Gemara says, okay, we'll have to leave this one for Eliyahu HaNavi. Bay Rava, we'll say second line down from the top, Yitzanim Adalud. Bay Rava, Tala Atzma Ba'avir. We'll say this is an interesting case. Let's say a person goes ahead and suspends himself mid-air. Well, now what does that mean? So we'll say the idea over here is, a person is not going ahead and standing on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. They're standing on a pillar, or on a post. Meaning they're standing on something that is elevated. So we'll say, here's the shayla. So the Gemara calls it Tala Atzma Ba'avir. Ba'avir Azara Mahu. So we'll say the shayla is, and let's say a person was tameh, and he tarried in the Beis HaMikdash. Is he chayif? So we'll say, simple case, Reuven becomes tummy inside the Beis HaMikdash, What happens? He tarries inside, but he's not standing on the ground. Instead, what happens, and the Gemara's Lashon is, he's suspended midair. So he's standing on a pillar, standing on a post, raised up. So what's the halacha mau? Ki gemiru shihiyah, shia debas ishtachava, delav bas ishtachava, lo gemiri. So when we say that she is usher, that's only a shia in which one is capable of bowing. They're both saying, in order to bow, you have to what? You have to be standing on the ground. This is a case where ultimately, again, his bowing is not capable of standing, he's not capable of bowing, because at the end of the day, what? At the end of the day, he's raised up. Oh, Dilma, or the other possibility is, Bifnim Shihiya Gimiri, Loshna Debas Ishtachava, Veloshna Debas Ishtachava. The other possibility is, no, Shia is a din in tarrying. It's not a din in the ability to go ahead and bow down. It happens to be that one of the ways that we measure how much time a person spent in the Beis HaMikdash is ultimately, again, did they have time to bow down? But Lamais, it's not dependent, the liability is not dependent on the ability, to go ahead and bow down. So what's the halacha? Teku. Well, we've got a bunch of tekus going on today. Eliyahu HaNavi, we have a whole new bunch of shas Eliyahu HaNavi when he comes. Bimhira b'yameinu. Bay Ravashi, time atzmo b'mezid mahu. We'll say, very interesting case. What happens if a person intentionally becomes tameh? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, and what the Gemara is asking over here is, all of these halachos that we've been discussing have been in accidental, what we call accidental or inadvertent tumah, unintentional tumah. What happens now if a person intentionally defiled themselves? What's the halacha? So the Gemara is mau. Ba'onis gemir shehiyah, b'meizi lo gemir shehiyah. So the Gemara is asking specifically is as follows, that in the laws of shehiyah, in terms of only being liable for entry into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah if you tarry there, is that din of shehiyah only a din where a person either entered b'shogig, became tummy b'shogig, Or does it even apply if a person is doing what they're doing b'mezid? So do we say ba'onis gemir shiyah b'mezid lo gemir shiyah? Do we say the shear of shiyah is only for ones? But if a person is mezid, then they're chayiv instantaneously. O dilma b'fnim gemir shiyah lo shna ba'onis v'lo shna b'mezid. Or do we say that at the end of the day, the din of shiyah, we'll say, is b'fnim, is on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. It makes no difference whether you are intentional or unintentional. To which the Gemara says, teku. Okay, another affiliate Navi. Bar Ravashi, Nazir bekever. We'll say another interesting case. What happens if a Nazir is by a kever? Remember again, a Nazir is not permitted to become Tomei. Let's say the Nazir is by the kever. What's the halacha? Boy Shihiyah. So we'll say, here's the interesting Shaila. A Nazir comes in contact with a kever. So do we say that in order for him to be Chayiv Malkus, he has to tarry there, he has to delay? Or do we say no? Even just instantaneous or momentary exposure to Tumah creates Malkus liability. So do we say, the Gemara says, Bifnim Gemiri Shehiyah, Bachotz Lo Gemiri Shehiyah. So do we say that the din of Shia is only a din inside the Beis HaMikdash, but the din of Shia is not a din outside of the Beis HaMikdash? O Dilma Ba'onis Gemiri Shehiyah, Lo Shna Bifnim V'lo Shna Bachotz. Or do we say that what? That ultimately, that Shehiyah is a din in any situation where a person inadvertently becomes Tameh, but where a person, whether it's inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside of the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't make any level of difference. To which the Gemara says, Teku. We'll say once again, Teku, we're not sure what the answer is. After we fail you, Anabi. Vaiter. Balu Baruga Chayiv Biktsara Padis. We'll remember again, the Mishnah said that if the individual who contracted Tumah inside the Beis HaMikdash, if he exits the long way, he'll be Chayiv. If he exits the short way, he will be putter. So Amar Rabba, Kitzara Shal Rabba says, it's very interesting. So we automatically assume that this is a din in time. In other words, that the idea that the Mishnah is telling me is, if he took the short way out, therefore took less time to get out, he will be putter. If he took the long way out, and therefore took more time to get out, he will be chayiv. To which the Gemara Rava says, not necessarily. Kitzara shamru, when we say that if you take the short path out, you are putter, afilu ekev bitzad gudel. We'll say, what is ekev bitzad gudel? Ekev bitzad gudel literally means you walk toe to heel, right? Walking toe to heel means what? In other words, very, very, very small steps. See, even if you take the short path out, but you walk toe to heel, so that it's taking you a very long time, vafilu kalayom kulo, even if what? It takes you the entire day to get out of the Beis HaMikdash, you still ultimately again will be potter. Why? Why? Because the idea is you took the fastest way out. Rashi says over here, afilu kalayom kulo, it's almost right across, not exactly, right across in seven lines up. Afilu kalayom kulo, shaba halichaso, shayaholich v'yotzei binachas. You're walking out. What's the rush? You're walking out benachas. It's a little spatzir, but you are taking the shortest path out. You take both sides. So what's that lacha? Your putter. You know what the lesson is? You know what the lesson is? Sometimes in life, it's all about finding the right path. It's all about finding the right derech. Sometimes the right derech is much longer and is much more arduous and could take a lot longer to get to your destination. But when you find the derech hayishara, when you find ultimately the right path in life, you know you... That's the ikkar. How long it's going to take me to get through it, how long it's going to take me to reach the end, how long it's going to take me to reach the destination, that's the great variable of life. Sometimes I can't control how quickly I get across the finish line. What I do control, ultimately, is what derech I choose. Incredible. Boy Rava, Shios Maushe Starfer. Well, so listen to this case. So now what we've established is as follows. The halacha is that if you tarry in the Beis HaMikdash, and again, we've defined now the shear, what's the definition of tarrying? What happens, Rabbi Osei, if you pause for a number of increments? Now, each of those individual pauses are not enough for the shear. But what? If you link them all together, they form the requisite shear. Are you chayiv or not? So the Gemara says, v'tif shot le mididay. But one second, go ahead, and you can answer that from what we just said before. What did we just say before? That if you go ahead and you take the short path out, even if it takes you the entire day, the halacha is that you're potter. So we'll say it seems over here that the halacha is that pauses do not combine. To which the Gemara says, no, hasam b'delo shah. We'll say that case where the person takes the whole day to get out, even though they're taking the shorter path, there was no pause. They're just walking very slowly, but in essence, there is no pause. So shir kitzara, mahu. Shir gemiri, v'chibala ba'aruka shir kitzara pater. Ol dilma dafka gemiri ba'aruka chayibi kitzara pater. This is another interesting shayla. When we speak about the shir kitzara, so is this a definition of time, or is this a definition of route? For example, let's say Rabosai, Reuven becomes Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. He's got two ways to get out. What we call Derech Kitzara, which is 2 minutes, and the Derech Aruka, which is 5 minutes. But let's say what? Reuven takes the Derech Aruka, but what? Happens to be that Reuven is also a long-distance Tumah runner. So meaning Mamish, like, he could do the Derech Aruka in 2 minutes. So meaning, he could do the long path in the same amount of time that it takes. And so he takes the Derech Aruka, but he does it in the amount of time that it would have taken someone to go in and do the Derech Kitzara. So is he Chayiv or not? Fundamental Shaila. Amarle, what's wrong? What? Yo, you voted. The table, okay. Table one has decided on this. We'll see in Yeretz Hashem what the resolution is. Amarle, lo nitna arucha lidachos etzlo. So we'll say to which the Gemara essentially answers, daloch is, this is not a din in timing, this is a din in the path. The idea is, the obligation is upon the individual, becomes tameh, to take the shortest route out of the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that he took the long route at the same pace as the shorter route, first of all, Rabbi Yossi saying, so ignores one basic yesod, which is what? Remember, you could run the longer route in a shorter amount of time, but you're still covering a longer amount of distance. So the Gemara understands over here that as much as we're making this about time, it's not just about time, it's also about distance. And therefore, even if Reuven could cover the longer route and the amount of time that it would take a normal person to take the shorter route, he's still chayiv. If he takes the longer route, he must go ahead and take the shorter route. Table one? Good. Baruch Hashem. Excellent. Good. Fantastic. Says the Gemara the following. Maskef l'Rav Yizeira. Ela dekaimel on tamei sheshimish b'misa. Heichim mishkach asla. So we'll say, ask the Gemara, okay, so we'll say, now we're going to come to a very interesting case, which is Timei Sheshamish. So we'll say, so this is Tamei Sheshimish. This is a case of a Kohen who became Tamei, and he did Avoda. So the halacha is, if a Kohen is Tamei and does Avoda, he's Chayiv Misa. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Heichim Mishkach Asla, it's the second wide line in Rashi. Heichim Mishkach Asla, Di'i De'in Bakaris Al Karchach Benitma Bazaro, the Mishkach Asla, Di'i Benitma Bachutz V'nichnas Ichayiv Lecharis Bichnisas. So listen to this. So the case over here of a Kohen Sheshimesh, Kohen who does the Avoda being Chayiv Karis, Rabbi Yossi, must be a case of a Kohen who becomes Tamei inside the Beis HaMikdash and still does Avoda. So he's Tamei, he contracts Tumah inside the Beis HaMikdash, does Avoda, he's going to go ahead and be Chayiv Karis. Gemara says, well, what's the case? It's actually very interesting. If he didn't tarry, because Merav will say, what we've now seen is, we always thought that just being Tamei inside the Beis HaMikdash makes you Chayiv. Now, but we understand that's unreasonable. Because if I contract Tumah inside the Beis HaMikdash, let's say it was an accident, there was circumstances beyond my control, I need a window to get out. You can't make me instantaneously chayiv. So I need a window to get out. So the Prabhupada said, the coin becomes Tameh, and he does Avoda, still does Avoda, he's chayiv kares. So what's the case? So the Gemara says, idlo shah, if he didn't tarry, hechi avid Avoda. Then the Prabhupada said, first of all, he wouldn't be chayiv me. He said, also, he couldn't do Avoda. Remember again, by definition, to do the Avoda means he must have tarried. Idlo shah, if he tarried, bar karisu. So we'll say, if he tarried, even if he didn't do Avoda, then what? He's chayiv also. In other words, what's the case? What's the case of a Tamei Kohen who does Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash who is chayiv kares? Meaning what it sounds like is he's chayiv kares for doing the Avoda. But 1 second. If he didn't tarry, then what? Then what? Then what? He's not chayiv anyway because he's only chayiv if you tarry. And if he tarried, then what? He's chayiv because he tarried in a state of tumah, which means that his chayiv is independent of the fact that he did avoda. His chayiv is that he tarried. So what's the case of a tamei kohen who did avoda's chayiv karis because of the avoda? It's incredible. So the Gemara says the following, what's the case? So if you say that the definition of tarrying is a quantifiable time amount. So let's say for argument's sake, it's 2 minutes. Oh, then I could see what's the case. The case will say, so why is it 2 minutes? Because let's say we're Mishar, that the amount of time it takes to get out of the Beis HaMikdash on the shortest route is 2 minutes. This Kohen happens to be a very fast guy. He only needs 1 minute to get out. And what does he use the other minute for? Avoda. Avoda. So then I can understand where you could have a case of ultimately, again, a Tomei Kohen who does the Avodah's Chayv Kares on the base. Hello. E amrit, dafka gemiri. But I will say, if you want to say that, no, it's not a din in time, ultimately. Again, it's the din in the path, then ultimately, heichi mishkachosla. So you will say, so if you see the only way to come up with this case, the Gemara feels, is if you tell me that ultimately Shia is a particular time, and now again, the Kohen is exceptionally fast, so the Maisi is able to recapture some of that time that other people would have used to traverse the distance. He doesn't need that, but he could use that time ultimately for Avoda. But if you hold, look at Rashi, Taparashi on Yuzayim Abayz, Ela Iyar Medafka Gemiri, Shoki Deyishtach Avia, Chayiv, so we'll say, if you say, Chayiv, Afili Yotzalab, but if you say that at the end of the day, Rabosai, that it's a din in the path, ultimately, again, it's not a din in the amount of time, then by definition, how is he going to be chayiv? Rabbi says, my kusha, I don't see why that's such a question. The case could come up as follows. The Kohen is taking the short path out. And Rabosai, what does he do? He overturns one of the pieces of sacrificial meat with a fork. So we'll say, so remember, again, what he's doing over here is this certain meat that has to be burned on the Mizbeah. In order to ensure that it gets burned, what happens? The meat is flipped over, is turned over. So the Gemara says, this is the case. He's taking the short path out, and on the way, he flips over a piece of meat. We'll say, why is flipping over a piece of meat a good example? Why is it a good example? It's quick. There's a few seconds of time lost on that, but one could do it with relative ease and relative speed. Because this reflects the view of Rav Huna says that a non-Kohen who flipped over meat with a sacrificial fork is Chayiv Misa, which Rav Huna tells you what? Tells you what? That it's Avoda. Tells you that ultimately, again, this is a form of Kohanic service, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, a zar, non kohen, did be chayiv, which are both like, is a perfect case. So therefore, the case over here could be the kohen is taking the short path out. On the way out, he flips over the meat, sacrificial meat, to the sacrificial fork, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa has performed an act of avoda while in a state of tuma. So the Gemara now goes back and we'll say and analyze this a little bit. Gufa, amar Rav Huna, zar shavach b'tzinur chayiv misa. If a kohen goes out and flips over a sacrificial piece of meat with a fork, he's going to be chayiv misa. So we'll say, remember again, what this means is, because flipping over sacrificial meat with a fork, ultimately again is going to be avoda. Hey chidami, what's the case? We'll say, get ready for this. Hey chidami, you have a fork in there?
Yeah.
You have a fork in there.
Yeah.
We'll say, table one is really like stealing the show today, I just want to tell you. I don't know what the rest of you are doing this morning, but okay. So says the Gemara, hey chidami, idala hafachla. I want to see you guys after Shir. I want to talk. So I'll say, so what's the case? In other words, when we say that a zar, that a non-kohen, is chayiv for flipping over sacrificial meat with a consecrated fork, what's the case? If without the flipping of the meat would have not been consumed by the fire, then pshita. The Rabbah said that it's obvious, and the act of flipping over the meat is a form of avoda. If on the other hand, Rabbah say what? If on the other hand, then Lamaisa, even if he didn't flip over the meat, then what? It was going to burn anyway, then my kavod. Then at the end of the day, what really did the non-kohen do? My kavod, which the Gemara says, lo tzricha, di'ilo hafach pu ma'achli b'tarti shoy, v'hashto ma'achli b'chad shaita. Oh, you know what happened? Here's what happened, Rabbah say. At the end of the day, even had the meat not been flipped, it would have been consumed by the fire of the Mizbech, but what? It would have taken 2 hours. Now that he flipped it, it's only going to take 1 hour. And what's the novelty? And I will say what we learn over here is the following. Anything that expedites sacrificial service is in and of itself considered to be sacrificial service. So we'll say that's the chiddush over here. And by the way, this is how we paskin halacha l'maisa. The Rama paskin is like this, that if Yisrael were to go up on the Mizbeach and flip over a piece of sacrificial meat, again, he would be chayiv, ultimately, again, for a zar, for a non-coin doing avodai. It would have happened anyway. It would have happened anyway. That is true. But anything that expedites avodah is a form of avoda in and of itself. Incredible. I'm going to vote share. Voshe says the following. Listen to this, Rav Oshia. This is an amazing Gemara. But you know, the Ima Milsa, Rav Oshia says, I want to say something. I want to share halacha. Umistafina mechavrei, but I'm afraid of my friends. So say, so what does that mean? I have something I want to share, bless you, but I'm afraid I'm going to get shouted down. I'm afraid I'm going to get shouted down by my friends. So what did Rav Oshia want to say? So he tells us secretly, in, recorded in the Gemara for thousands of years. Good. So what? Right. So hanichnas lebayis hamenuga derech achorav. Rav Oshia, listen to this case. Someone goes ahead and enters in. Bayis hamenuga means a home which is afflicted by tzaras. Remember again, Rav Oshia, we know tzaras is not something that could just afflict the person, but also the tzaras habatin, which means tzaras that affects the home. So listen to this case. Hanichnas lebayis hamenuga derech achorav. What's the case over here? A person walks into an afflicted home, but they walk in backwards. Afilo kulo chutz mechotmo, even if everything except my nose is in the home, or if my nose is protruding out of the home, but at the end of the day, the rest of me is inside the house. So what's the halacha? Tahor. Now, what's interesting about this? Dichsev. Now, what ultimately is Rav Oshia trying to say? Dichsev. Because when the Torah speaks about somebody walking into a bayis hamenuga, to an afflicted home, the Torah uses lashon of v'habo el abayis. V'habo, Rav Oshia understands to mean what? Derech bia asra Torah. So what does the Torah prohibit? Entry in the normative fashion. You're only chayiv for entering into a bayis hamenuga if you enter in a normative fashion. But if you enter in a non-normative fashion, which is what? I walk in backwards, even if almost my entire body is in the home, Halacha L'Maaseh Rav Oshia posits, that I will not be chayiv, I won't become tamei. So the Gemara says, U'mistafina mechavrei, and what am I afraid about from my friends? Because they're going to yell at me, Iyachi kulonami. If that's the case, who cares if his nose is protruding or not? Even if his whole, if it's a din, if you're telling me that it's a din, that what? That it's a normative fashion of entry, then even if my whole body's in the house, even if I'm 15 steps into the house, the ikar over here is that I'm walking in backwards, which is a non-normative form of entry. If that's the case, then I should be potter. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, no, I'll tell you why you can't say that. Because kulo lo gara mikelim shebabayis. Because once you're in the home in its entirety, then ultimately, again, you're no different than the utensils which are in the home. What does the pasuk say about the utensils which are in the home? Dechsev, v'lo yitameis kolash shar babayis. See, Abbas, here's what's interesting. There's apparently two different forms of tumah that can be contracted. There's a tumah through entry, and then there's a tumah through being under the roof of the home. So the idea is I'm only chayiv tumah for entry, if I enter in a normative way. And therefore, again, as long as there's some part of my body that is protruding outside of the home, therefore, again, I won't contract tumah. Once my whole body is fully in the home, then the mice again, I'm no different than anything else which exists under the roof of the home. At which point, again, it doesn't matter how I got there. What matters is what? That I'm in there. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, I will become tamei as a result. So the Gemara goes back to time. So I'll say, once we discuss this, meaning once we discuss what we'll call non-normative entries or non-normative usages of spaces, so the Gemara says something amazing. We have rice that supports this. Gagin halalu. We'll say, these rooftops. Now, what rooftops are we referring to? Take a look at Rashi. Gagin halalu sheba azara. This is talking about the rooftops in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So the rooftops in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Ochlin Sham Kodshei Kadoshim. Now we'll say you can't eat consecrated items on the rooftop. Ve'ein Shochtin Sham Kodshim Kalim. and you can't go ahead and shecht there. Also remember, kachet kadosh and kachet kalam are just different levels of karbonic sanctity. So look at Rashi for just a moment. In ochlin sham kachet kadoshim haneachal mithnim nakelayim. So we'll say anything that's supposed to be consumed inside of the curtains of the Beis Hamikdash cannot be eaten on the rooftops. Dikasavar gagin va'alios lo niskachu. Because we'll say this particular opinion holds that the rooftops and the elevated areas of the Beis Hamikdash do not have kiddushas hamikdash. Elo haritzpa v'ha'avir ad hagag. So we'll say this actually is the subject of a fundamental machlokes. But for our purposes right now, what this price is teaching me is the following. The kiddush of the Beis Hamikdash applies to what, Rabosai? Applies to the ground and applies to the airspace up until the rooftops. The rooftops themselves were not consecrated with Beis Hamikdash sanctity. As a result, you cannot eat your carbonos on the rooftops. You can't eat your carbonos on the rooftops. Fine. And similarly, similarly, if a person who is tamei entered into the Beis Hamikdash by way of the rooftops, he's potter. They both say, why is that? Why is that? Shnei emar v'al hamikdash lo savo. Because the pasuk says, they both say, that a person ultimately, again, who is tamei, may not enter into the mikdash. So both say, same idea. What word do you see over here? Lo savo. Both say, this is why this is here. This is here because of Roshia's statement. Roshia said that a person who enters into a home afflicted with saras, but enters what? In a non-normative entry fashion. Enters backwards. What's the halacha? He's right. He's tahor. He doesn't become tamei as long as his full body is not entered into the home. So to again, Rabbi said this brisa picks up on the same idea that since the rooftops were not consecrated, if a person goes who's tamei enters into the Beis Hamikdash by way of the rooftops, he will not be chayiv. Why? Because the pasuk says ve'ala mikdash lo savo. The pasuk says if you're tamei, you may not come to the Beis Hamikdash. Derech bia astra Torah. Ultimately, again, the Torah only prohibits in a what we'll call a normative form of entry. But Torah does not prohibit a non-normative form of entry. So therefore, again, if a person comes through the rooftops, ultimately, again, that is the non-normative form of entry, and therefore a person ultimately, again, will not be chayiv. So the Gemara goes weiter. Well, so let's just do one more line. So remember again, the Mishnah says something quite interesting, which was that this is a mitzvah asay in the Beis HaMikdash that one is not chayiv for. Shabbos, I remember again, this was a strange statement in the Mishnah, which we weren't exactly clear how to understand it. The good news is the Gemara asks it, Heicha kai de ka'amar zohi. So where exactly is this Mishnah? Meaning it sounds like the Mishnah is picking up on an already started conversation from somewhere else. So where is this conversation from? Hasam kai. To which the Gemara says, our Mishnah is actually picking up from a conversation of Maseches Harius. What was the conversation? Ein chayovin alasei va'alos asei sheva mikdash. We'll say this is referring to, and we'll get into more of this in tomorrow's daf, that I will say this is referring to that if the Beis HaMikdash goes ahead and issues an erroneous ruling. So there's a special karban that the Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis Din is obligated to go ahead and bring if they go ahead and they issue an erroneous ruling. The Gemara Maseches Harius says that they are not chayiv if they issued an erroneous ruling concerning an asay or a lo sa'asay which governs tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, ve'ein mevin asham talui alasay. Furthermore, again, this is talking about individuals. Individuals do not go ahead and bring an asham talui on the violation ultimately of an asay, va'alo sa'asay sheva mikdash. Nor do they bring an asham talui ultimately again on a lo sa'asay in the Beis HaMikdash. Avo, chayoven alasay, va'alo sa'asay sheva nida. But we'll say at the end of the day, they would be chayiv, a person would be chayiv for the violation of an asay and a lo sa'asay by nida. Umevi'in asham talui alasay, va'alo sa'asay sheva nida. Ve'ka'amar, zohi mitzas asay sheva mikdash, she'in chayoven aleha. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, well, so this is really just restating the Mishnah, just now tying it back to the Gemara Maseches Harius. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, this is an example of a mitzvah that's in the Beis HaMikdash, or as well says, so if the Beis Din offers an erroneous ruling regarding an asay or a lo sa'asay regarding tuma in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no special power that they would normally bring for delivering erroneous rulings. And I will say, what is the case? And again, this is just recording the Mishnah. What's the case ultimately, again, of the violation of a mitzvah's asay, for which one would be chayiv for. So the Gemara says, Hayim Meshami Shematara, this is just quoting the Mishnah. If a man was having relations with his wife who was a tahora, va'amra lo nitmesi, and in the midst of the act of relation, she says, I am a tmeo. I'm tmeo. She says, I became a nida. What's that? Lacho pireish miyad. And he goes ahead and he withdraws while still in an aroused state. Chayiv. Ultimately, again, he will be chayiv. Why do I say? Because at the end of the day, there is hana. There's pleasure still from that act of withdrawal. And therefore, again, lemaisa, he will be chayiv for an act of bia with anida. Mipneshi itziyaso, hana alo kibiaso. Because the act of withdrawal, while still aroused, ultimately, again, gives him hana. What just like the actual act of relations itself. And therefore, again, we'll say, although his intention was to cease the act of bia, but because that occurred in a way that ultimately caused additional hana, therefore it will be chayiv ultimately again, what he'll be chayiv we'll discuss, but it'll be chayiv ultimately again for relations with the need. We'll stop over here. We'll stop over here, and Meretz Hashem will share with you a short idea on the parasha.